Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. I'm very excited. My guest today has an incredible background in many different places, including finance and geopolitics and state politics and putting back together, broken economies and all kinds of things, including geopolitical finance as well. I'm honored to welcome Chris Street to the show. Thank you for joining me, sir.
Nice to be on the show.
Oh, thank you. This is exciting. I don't usually get somebody who has so many different topics they can talk about that are all happening at once. So first and foremost, if you could tell my audience a little bit about your background and kind of how you got to this place where you can kind of see a 40,000 foot view of what's happening in all over right now, where a lot of people can kind of not really get the big picture.
Well, Mel, I grew up in Santa Clara, California. My mother was the first woman city councilman there. And people don't realize that Santa Clara and Palo Alto, the reason they're Silicon Gulch, has nothing to do with Stanford and Berkeley and everything to do that back in 1900, a number of cities around California, mostly sort of agriculture at the time, wanted to own and control their own electric power and not be beholden to PG&E in Southern California, Edison, corporate interests out of the East. And so they locked in water power at such low rates of less than 1 cent per kilowatt hour that as the public-owned utilities sort of drove those prices up, they had this great arbitrage of the cheapest electricity in the United States. And they use that arbitrage to literally give to companies like Intel and others a band of very, very low cost electricity.
Oh, wow.
That made it impossible for tech companies that, doing things like making semiconductors, which is an energy hog, to right. not want to be there. So it's a great example of what I call comparative advantage. And I took this sort of experience as a young person and all the the financing issues and such that were around my family, I became one of the largest bond traders in the Western United States. So I had a visceral view into, corporate decisions and state decisions and how this thing plays out economically. So I sort of built a career around bond trading, eventually got involved in exposing Orange County's leveraged derivative scandal, and it actually put the county in bankruptcy, and then I restructured the county. So I've had a really interesting background, and the things that are going on now, the chaos, I have this belief that America was designed to be disruptive. Remember, it was this little tiny piece of land here, kind of on the Atlantic, and there's a big mountain there, and somebody could just run in and take us over pretty easy. So they designed a machine of government that was designed to be very inefficient for government and very supportive of high disruption. And the high disruption, of course, is a bigger economic cycle. So since the founding of the United States, you've had these sort of 45-year incredible booms that end in a massive bust, right. And literally they take the rest of the world with us and then turn around and come out of it. And you've done this over and over in kind of a wave cycle. And everyone believes that this time it's different. But I don't care if you're in the United States in 1848, United States had six economic crises. It was the second worst credit in the world. It was threatened by Mexico and others to be invaded. And at the time, the Bank of England ran the world on 60 to 80 tons of gold in their vault, British Empire. California, in the first year of the gold rush, generated 80 tons of gold, and in the next 9 years, generated 750 tons. So all of a sudden, from nowhere, the cycle of death and destruction, the United States came out, and we came out of this. We went through the Civil War, where we were building railroads to the West. We could afford to do that, oh, by the way, and fight a civil war.
Right.
So this cycle that takes off, it takes off and massively changes the world by, you know, allowing individuals to have property, a dollar an acre. That's what the game is. That's how they finance the United States. And then in 1880, it literally, late 80s, hit the wall. And it hit the wall because the real estate boom was over, the gold was played out. And then you went into one of the greatest socialist rebellions in history around the world. And through that process, you know, a president was shot, you know, there were riots in the street. Right. And all of a sudden, three dudes in a place now called Beverly Hills. You've heard of Beverly Hills,
yes,
right?
Yes, I have. I've lived there.
So, you know, it was like dirt land there. With pick and shovel, they slant mined down to the largest deposit of oil in the world. And the day they hit that oil, they turned every naval vessel in the world into a paperweight. And that drove America through, that drove us all the way up through World War One, drove us, you know, I believe at the end of World War One, everybody was smashed and we were doing great. We were doing so great that we did so well, we produced more than the world could ever consume. And by the 1930s, we were back in the crash, you know, communists leading the communist revolutions. Everybody thought, you know, England and the United States, especially led by California, would be communist countries. Came out of that, you know, with, you know, they picked where they're going to build the atomic bomb for the war. They went to California, where the brains are, right? Because of the gold and the, do you see how these cycles? Then you go back up to the 70s, it crashes the hardest in California. And what happens? There's a tax rebellion, you know, in leftist California. And, you know, Reagan comes in and he cuts taxes from 78% to 28% and launches this massive venture capital boom. Well, we are now finished in that boom. We are on the bad side of that mountain and going down hard.
Yeah, so that's fascinating. And it's interesting to also put into perspective California, because you look at a lot of California. I lived there for 18 years, a little give or take. And I have to tell you, I love the state. I miss it. I don't love the state I left behind. But it's interesting to say that California has always been part of this boom and bust cycle in America, at least since we found gold there and energy and all of that. Now, with what you're watching now, though, this is because you also have a background, you really understand China. And a lot of people, I've been saying all along, you know, China doesn't, they're not like us. They've had a 5,000 year history and they play a long game. And I've been saying to people when they talk about, I mean, our military industrial complex is so exposed right now. More people than ever, honestly, look at it and they see what happened in Ukraine. They see what happened, what's happening all over the world. But now they're looking back to the beginning. They're looking back all the way back to 9/11 and forward and the endless wars and where all this money's going and all this tremendous money. And I keep saying that China, they're building something called the Belt and Road Initiative. And when you look at it and you look at them, you think, well, that is their military plan, as well as their entire, a lot has to do with that. And so for me, people seem to be waiting for some kind of, you know, China, like, war or something's going to happen. And I keep saying, no, they're going right along as we are getting distracted. And we have this crazy stuff going on with our government. And like I said, just this week, we have this insanity in the Middle East, and too many people are jumping right away without realizing we didn't learn anything maybe from 9/11, but we should take a step back. But the same week, Russia and China are meeting at a big event for the Belt and Road Initiative right now as we speak. And most Americans have no idea that this is happening. And how does that affect America?
Well, let's put it clearly. Tomorrow, Joe Biden arrives in Tel Aviv. is the final ceremonies for the Belt and Road Initiative with 100 countries there. You know, Putin's there, Xi's there. People don't quite understand China. I actually consult to the Chinese government. Back in 2014, I wrote a piece that said China will have the mother of all banking crisis. And I laid out how that they would run out of what I call bandwidth from doing fractional banking. What fractional banking means is, Mel, if you put a dollar in the bank, that most banks can loan that, you know, some number of times. In the US, it's 13. In Europe, it's 25. Wow. In China, it's 50. Wow. So the guy who can leverage it the most. So let's just figure that out. So if I take $2 and you can loan $100, that means I have a 2% cushion. Oh, if I have $1 and I can loan $13, that means I have a 7-cent cushion. So, you know, we're talking big time multiples that China, you know, is able to carry, get away with. For the simple fact is they've got everybody in a, you know, sort of a concentration camp. Your money, you may travel, but your money's not going to travel. That's the way it is in China. And China, the way the game is played, you go on these wonderful dynasties. Mel, have you ever thought why they built the Great Wall of China?
Not really. I mean, I haven't. Why don't you? I would like to be educated. Well, look,
you're sitting on the moon. You're the astronaut on the moon, and you're looking down. You can actually see it.
I think it's amazing that you can see it.
It's amazingly big. It's called the 15-inch isoset line. What that means is on this side, there's 15 inches of water, and there's lush, and there's food, and there's wealth. And on this side, no water, less. So that means these were the brigands, the outlaws, the Mongols.
Right.
You know, so that is the way the world is carved out. So in China, this event of having all this water and wealth over here is driven by the climate. They actually have what's called climate change, Mel. And the problem with climate change is you've had a favorable climate since 1957. Now you're entering the unfavorable climate. This year, you're going to have a big El Nino, what's called an El Nino Mordecai. And I mean, wow. Everybody says, oh, you know, weather, it's all new. No, it's not. They cut down trees, you know, in that they found frozen off Finland going back 3,000-4,000 years. So you can actually see the rings. So they're pretty good about this stuff. And, you know, people, you know, grow food and they care about this type of thing. So China is now at the end of its financial boom. At the end of its economic boom. I mean, you understand that there are officially 1.4 million Chinese, only they're not. There's 3 billion, and 100 million girls that were born, got registered in their provinces, disappeared. You can understand how that happened.
Right.
And so because of that, China was supposed to drop from 1.4 billion to 800 million in 2070. They're now going to have that drop by 2050 and maybe even faster. China is coming into a environment where you're going to have colder weather and more precipitation. Almost every dynasty in the history of China has been destroyed by weather.
Wow.
Too much water. Too much water. They're the greatest people in the world at managing water because it kills them. They built a great infrastructure. Unfortunately, they built it the communist way. Have you ever heard of this dam called Three Gorges, the biggest in the world?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I watched it a lot over the years. It looked like it was going to burst about 2.5 years ago. And then, as far as we know, it didn't. But I know that it certainly was flooding out tons of land over there.
Well, let's just say that you have a pencil and you decide you want to build a dam, and you know you don't build dams, but you're a mucky muck, so you just kind of drive a line, right? That's literally what happened. Somebody drew a line. The only problem with drawing a line for a dam is they have this thing called pressure.
Right.
It's not distributed the same because the walls go like this. So you build dams convex, like the dam, you know, goes out into the water. No, China, because they're commies, they just build a straight line. So you almost lost it back here about 8 years ago. Now you're going to get a bigger problem. 8 years ago, there's a dock, I forget what they call it. Anyway, you put water in it, you push a lock. There's a lock. There's two doors, a gigantic lock, big ships can go through. Right. So you get a ship in here, you close the door, you fill it up with water, it floats up to the higher part of the lake and then goes like that. The last time they opened the whole thing up and killed a bunch of people.
Right.
The current problem they're facing in the next year, according to my friends, and my friends are agricultural people because I really have a confidence that people, you know, who food is their life, you know, and big money is food.
Right.
They believe that you're coming into the 1 in 200 or 1 in 100 year flood.
Wow.
You're getting this El Nino all over the world. You're getting literally, I mean, and these are the things that people really need to talk about, but they don't. Right. Later on, they'll all claim they're experts. You're actually getting a massive decline in sunspots. Have you heard that?
No, because you can't, because there's so much cognitive warfare when it comes to the weather. You don't know what to believe.
Well, sunspots, what sunspots do, you have these flames that come out and all that, and this, you know, releasing all this energy. You, for the last 10 years, you've had this decline in sunspots. And everybody goes, it doesn't matter. Well, the way it works in big systems is the atmosphere is shrinking when there's less sunspots. These surges of heat and such like that create more water vapor, and that is shrinking right now. And as it shrinks, you start to change the winds. As you start to change the winds, you start to change the cycle of where these currents go, and you start to have this cold water that comes up from the deep oceans. If there's not wind, it'll go up. If there's wind, it gets dissipated. So you're coming into a real climate change problem of global cooling.
Right. Now, global cooling, but they all went for global warming. I talk a lot on this show about what I call the global oligarch banking cartel or elite or whatever you want to call them. These people that meet at the World Economic Forum and the COP conferences, and they want trillions and trillions of dollars given to them to stop all of this. And there's other people out there that say, no. That's what they're saying, is they want a transfer of wealth and the illusion that they're going to stop all of it. There are actually a lot of problems that can be solved with people that understand climate and like you said, like farmers and engineers and all of that. But that's not what these people are selling. It sounds like they're kind of using what you're saying as a tool to transfer all the wealth of the nations into their hands, where they're not really doing much to prevent the actual nature of what's happening.
Well, you're exactly right, because we were talking about China. Let me finish on China.
Yeah,
Xi Jinping did not go to the G20, right. Did not go to the BRICS, because he was afraid of a coup at home. You know, the old thing, when the cat's away, the mice will play.
Yes.
He actually stayed during the G20 and arrested five of the People's Liberation Army generals and, you know, crushed their units. And the way it works in China is you're in a tribe, okay? Right. Yeah. And when there's a dynasty, your tribe wins and everybody in the tribe benefits. But at the end of the dynasty, they take off 100 million heads. They kill it all the way down to the seed. And this is how absolutely brutal it is right now in China. They are afraid that this economic event, which was unusual, America basically outsourced their entire, you know, industrial base to China, because right. China would use this financing. Remember the currency? They would use, they would give you deals that no one else would give you. You know, you would go there and you would have, you know, They give you the building, they give you the workers, they give you all of this so you can cut your labor costs. And during a period from about 1997 to 2006, corporate profit of multinational corporation doubled.
Yep.
I ran big corporations. You know, to get a 10 or 15% annual corporate profit increase is a huge deal. This actually, of all the companies that relocated manufacturing to China, benefited with an almost doubling of their corporate profit. It led to the kind of securities boom we're in right now, where intangibles are so valuable and tangibles are not very valuable. I mean, nobody talks, you know, I'm in the steel industry. You know, I'm in the basic aluminum, something like that. I'm in the agricultural business. So we are in that point now where they're flipping the script. And you are, what you're seeing, remember, you've dropped even Afghanistan. You have a one that people don't even talk about, the Armenia,
they don't.
Azerbaijan event, the war that lasted less than 24 hours.
Unbelievable.
That war is for control of the gut of Russia. This is just for 200. They haven't been secure in that part of the world defensively. There are 9 ways to invade Russia, 3 major: Poland, Ukraine, and Azerbaijan.
Right.
And in one day, the United States tried to flip Armenia, a 400-year ally of Russia, to the United States. We had 2,500 soldiers doing training in Armenia the day the Azerbaijans invaded, and the Russians flipped one of the biggest foreign policy issues in the world, and nobody's talked about it.
Nobody.
Is it any surprise that we're now doing the same thing, or we're going through the same thing in Israel?
No, it's very scary that nobody mentioned that part about Azerbaijan. I couldn't believe it, really, and I still can't, because what you're saying now about there is that, because I was looking at, also, I said to you earlier, I was looking at the map of the Belt and Road Initiative, and the Belt and Road Initiative,
it goes through Azerbaijan.
Yeah, it seems like not only does it go through Azerbaijan, but it does appear that it also goes through that plot of land in the Middle East that's being contested as well. And if you watch what's been going on all this time, a lot of that has been, you know, all over Africa, all over South America. My friends just came back from the Darien Gap. Basically, the Chinese are like totally embedded there. I mean, how much of that? So if China's having problems at home domestically, but they're continuing on with the Belt and Road Initiative, and they're at this event while we're all, while Biden and Blinken and them are going around the Middle East trying to, you know, whatever they're doing there. What does that mean? What is Russia and China? What are they doing that people should know about? Because it's not about their, it's obviously, it's not about their people. And it's certainly not about, with this Biden regime, it's not about us, we the people. People are being left out. It's all these people up here that are doing all kinds of things, but they don't seem to be meshing.
Well, once again, all of this chaos seems so specific to you and me. It's not. It's the cycle. The economic cycle is collapsing. There's $14 trillion, you know, the T word, trillion dollars of corporate sunk investment in China. That's like, you know, more than the entire GDP of China. So this $14 trillion of sunk investment is now has the value of a paperweight. It cannot generate productivity and higher incomes for corporations. In China, you have a shrinking population, so your workforce is shrinking. China is a communist country with 100% communist benefits,
right?
Except you have to work in your province to accrue benefits. You have to have what's called a huku. Remember that word, huku. If you don't work in your province and you don't correct benefits in that huku, you go to the coast and live in a dorm.
Yeah, dorm.
You have zero benefits. And this is the whole, you know, you contributed to those benefits, you know, for decades. Now you want to collect them. I mean, this is what's going on in China right now. During the COVID problems,
yeah,
they welded people into their buildings because they could pay them there and not have them walk around and do things. In China, you don't see as much of it now, but in the, you know, in the 2000s, early 2000s, there was 1,000 riots a day. Wow. Nobody talks about it because that's the way the Chinese sort of operate. If you go to a plane flight in China, they're very queued up, standing in line, they're perfectly lined up. The moment the agent comes up, they all rush the counter. They believe in the concept of, you Americans, you talk about, see that glass over there? Is it half full or half empty? They say, we need to run over there and drink it so nobody else can.
Oh, that's very different. Yeah, and I think people don't get that.
That is so different.
Yeah.
Remember that the commies did this to somebody else. The history in China is somebody's going to do it to them. So I believe that all of this is coming together and you're saying, who are the winners?
Right.
Now, if you're an American, do you really benefit by having your Walmart items manufactured in China for a higher price? If it was a lower price, okay, now it's higher cost.
Right.
You can build a factory here in the U.S. with lower energy prices, because remember, China has no energy. You can have, you know, closer to your customer and all that. So you are in this transition point. So just as it's collapsing, you know, the whole economic model is collapsing, it's reassembling itself for the future. Do we really need, you know, to have a Navy that is the policeman of the world?
No. I think people are getting there where they get it finally, that's what's going on here, and that doesn't benefit the American people or the world, honestly. It benefits the military industrial complex and their contractors and whoever's involved, but certainly not the people.
You always have in each one of these cycles that end, like Jimmy Carter wanted to be, you know, he was going to bring back FDR, right? He was going to bring back this. We're going to go back to what Democrats really are. And, you know, we're high taxes, get the money out of the hands of the rich folk and get it in the regular people. The only problem is that in the 1970s, America had great houses and lousy factories. So we'd already done that.
Right.
So now we're in the corporate world where, again, you've got this concentration of wealth. You know, we're trying to build military stores, and the only companies left in the military construction now are literally monopolies,
right,
and they're getting monopoly costs. You know, all little companies have been wiped out because, right, you know, the big companies had the power. So I believe that this is the normal sort of breathing of the economy. Now you're going to smash the elites. And I think, you know, at the end of the day, if the elites benefited from globalism, you didn't.
Right.
You really want to be the dollar of the world. You know, the problem with being the dollar of the world is anybody gets in trouble, you got to bail them out. Why don't we make them pay? And, you know, if they want to pay with dollars, great. If they want to pay with, you know, whatever they want to pay with, they'll have to take a big discount on that, won't they?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people have really started to open their eyes to, I've been looking at it for years, but the average American did not look at it, was the amount of money that was being sent, apparently, so to, you know, the amount of money to Ukraine. And people were thinking, what in God's name? So we have all these, our factories are all run down. We have all these run down towns all over that are like carcasses of what they once were. We don't have this. Our infrastructure is a disaster, all of that. But we have $100 billion to send to a country that we have no business being in. And I think that started the slow unraveling of, well, where else are we? Oh, we have 800 bases around the world? What, USAID is sending billions of dollars to every nation for what? You know, I really do think that, like you're saying, there's a shifting, but it took the realization, I think, of a lot of American people to kind of look at it and think, what are we doing? Why would we be doing that? I point back a lot to the Center for a New American Century. Remember, they made that document in 2000 where they were talking about policing the world, basically, that it was like Rumsfeld and Cheney, Wolfowitz, Kagan. And it was all about like, we're going to put bases all, we're going to militarily control the world. And it's like, I think people realize like, why? It's not helping the American people. It's not helping America. It's not helping the other countries. And it's just perpetuating it. And I think, like you're saying, the cycle's coming to an end, but there's also a realization, I think, on the people finally that are seeing that they've been manipulated for a very long time, especially financially, and that we should be, you know, the COVID, everyone was thinking, why isn't our supply, why do we have to go to China to get our drugs? Why is there a supply chain issue coming from China? Why would that happen in America? Why aren't we making everything here? So I think there's a consciousness raising now too of the people. Hey guys, thank you for watching the show. I just want to remind you yet again that we really need to be very cautious of what is going on with the economy, both here and internationally. Most of us know that the BRICS nations are looking for a gold-backed currency to dethrone the dollar being the world reserve currency. They have an event coming up on August 22nd. The BRICS nations are all going. There are also 13 other nations that would like to join the BRICS nations. And this is not something to not pay attention to. We have to make sure that you protect your savings. And that is why I have chosen Beverly Hills Precious Metals. That is where I have gotten my gold and silver. I leave it in a depository. I know it's there. I've replaced it with my savings. I've put there to make sure that I weather the storm no matter what, be it the central bank digital currency, the BRICS nations, the dollar goes into collapse, whatever may happen. I know 401k, IRA, backed by gold, as well as having my savings, at least an amount of my savings in gold, in the depository or sent to you at home, is the best way to make sure you maintain peace of mind and make sure that your savings and everything that you've earned is safe no matter what comes. We will get through this. All is not lost. America will return to greatness as it always has been. But between now and then, we have to be very smart and very cognizant of what's going on. So please go to Mel K Gold, or go to the MelKShow.com partners page and go to Beverly Hills Precious Metals. And my friend Andrew will take care of you. He's got a great team. Gold is the way to go right now. And I know that no matter what, I'm safe. So please do that for yourselves. We really care about you here. You're more like family and friends. And I hear from all of you a lot. So I just want to make sure that you guys are doing something proactive to be prepared. All will be well, but take care of yourself now. Being prepared is always a good thing.
Well, obviously you're white and you are looking at your perspective. You're not looking at the perspective of the love of the world that America can have, right? Because we're really a global, you know, we're a global partner. These people are the farthest from global partners you'd ever see. They like to have, they like to do deals and be important. I mean, it's the pyramid thing. They're on the top of this massive pyramid that's been built up. It is very tall. That means, you know, you only manage a few people here, and then down here, the bulk of the people, you know, they're the little ones. And you're really, because of your social advancement, because of your intellect, that they really need you to tell them, you know, that they don't need to own anything and they'll be happy. So when you get this kind of end of cycle, you know, the people of the old cycle that won, they glom together. They put all their money and power together because they're trying to stop the wave they can see that's coming. We're now in a situation where literally if we wanted the whole naval control of the world is collapsing. But what did we get out before it collapsed? I mean, what you're seeing right now, you're taking two aircraft carriers. Now, these things are the greatest military machine ever invented in the history of the planet. They have as many as 5,000 sailors and Marines on there for combat. You're bringing them in. You're bringing 35 other ships. Each one has 35 other ships with it. So, and you're bringing it to a place where they know that hundreds of thousands of missiles exist in Crazy's hands. They're the greatest sitting duck on earth. Today, I don't want to get political and have people say that I support this or support that, but the Al-Ahli hospital was blown up in Gaza City today. It looked like a missile, a high speed, if not hypersonic missile, hit the building in what's called a center point, which is the maximum blowout.
Right.
And at least 500 to 700 people are dead. It is the greatest poster for the Belt and Road Initiative meeting to talk about America, you know, supplied, you know, America doesn't build, you know, the Iron Dome missiles, the Iron Dome system, but we give them the Tamar missiles that go in the Iron Dome system. You know, the Israelis have always make sure that Made in America signs on the bomb when they bomb people to say this is how it works. So you are in a situation where everything is going wrong.
Right.
And, you know, Biden's arriving tomorrow and he's pushing all in. I mean, they have laws in Vegas that you can't, you know, let a drunk, you know, hit his credit card for another $1 million. I mean, that's where we're at. We're at the point where Biden literally is flying in to the most chaotic environment in the world. He's bringing two aircraft carriers, you know, because he's got muscles on both sides. And what could be, what bad could happen? All of it.
Yeah.
So this is just amateur hour. The reason that they're looking like this is they feel the pain and the collapse, and they're doing everything they can to push all in to stop it.
Yeah. And this, the crazy part about this is that the people that are most benefiting from it are together watching this off to themselves. It's not just China and Russia. It's also 130 other countries, most of them that want to join the BRICS nations, watching this from afar together. And to me, it says, like, the American people are being so destructive, especially with people that are addicted to the conflict and chaos that is the internet and social media, are not realizing that there is a grand scale on the world stage right now of, you know, how, like Shakespeare, all the world's a stage. Well, there are people that are watching this and looking at it.
The whole world's watching.
I know, and seeing this. Now, from your point of view, best case scenario for America, you know, what's scary, I think, to a lot of people, I have a lot of people that watch this from overseas, and I have a lot of journalists that come on that are in foreign countries. A lot of them are also happen to be Donald Trump fans. And if they're not Donald Trump fans, they're at least fans of what he represents and are watching the persecution of Donald Trump and the vitriol and the rabid hate of this man. And in disgust, like even people that are not Trump fans, not as much, if they're here and they're totally brainwashed and they hate Trump for whatever reason, you're not going to get to them. But I'm talking about foreign journalists, foreign leaders that are watching the lawfare that's happening. He got a gag order today and all. When you're looking at America and you're seeing it from that point of view, like here's these people watching that go on. It's a terrible scenario. It's amateur. It seems like amateur hour, but it's not. These people have been involved for decades. Blinken and Kagan and Nuland and Sullivan. These guys, they know, might not know what they're doing, but they think they do. What do you see for America right now?
Well, they exactly know what they're doing. The problem is it exactly doesn't work anymore. So they are experts with tremendous, you know, they've got all the parchments on the wall. They've got all the certifications.
Right.
They've received all the awards. You know, they have committees of people like them. You go and, you know, I lecture to Eurasian people, which are, you know, if you look at Eurasia, where Ukraine happens to be, nobody is talking here about the Istanbul Canal. Now, we know what happened when they put a Suez Canal, you know, in Africa, right?
Right.
It changed the way. It didn't have to go down all the way around
right.
Africa. So there, if you go to the Black Sea, you have to go through this thing called the Bosphorus and the Dardanelles. It's very curvy. It's got like, you know, places that you can get stuck in the mud, and you have to have a pilot, and it's very slow. It takes about 18 to 20 hours to traverse it. And of course, in a military situation, remember in World War One, Gallipoli? You've heard that name? Yep. This is where the British Empire destroyed itself in World War One, which was really about trying to carve up the Ottoman Empire because you can.
Right.
So they went down there.
They took the wrong path. They took the wrong route.
No, they did it the English way. They arrive with the fleet. They arrive with all their troops. And then they decided to set up bivouac and training and get all their support system in place and all their people. And they waited another 90 days. And guess what? In 90 days, you know, the Osmans got the Germans involved. And they put mines out there and defenses. Literally, the British arrogance that they would show up in red coats and you would tremble. Well, they didn't tremble. And you lost three battleships one day. You lost thousands of British troops, and they went home and for the next 4 years fought the worst, you know, engagement in the history of the world. So this idea that you're going to show up with all the right credentials and certificates, and, you know, do you understand that I'm, you know, and oh, by the way, did you know that Jake Sullivan's, you know, who's the national security advisor, the guy that said, the greatest part about, you know, 2 weeks ago, the greatest part about the Middle East is you never have to think about it anymore. His wife is Maggie Gottlander, counsel to AG Merrick Garland.
Oh, get former out. Counsel, I don't think people know that.
That is the biggest. So, former counsel to John McCain.
These people are so incestuous. They're just disgusting. It's like they never go away, and we got rid of them for a little while. I think it's showing, though. I think people see it. I think a lot more people see it than did before. Now, what you're saying right now, I do want to ask you, because you know a lot more about this stuff than me. What is the deal with Turkey? Because Turkey's not on our side.
Turkey is the Ottoman Empire coming back.
Right.
I was talking about this new canal called the Istanbul Canal.
Right.
Well, if this takes like 20 hours, and it used to be in, you know, and to go to the, you know, through Suez, which place kind of a, was like a bog, you know, had right, some water yeah. there. And you have to go take everything off and take like 5 or 6 days to get it across land, load it up on a ship and take off again. And then they built the Suez Canal. If you build a canal, like a straight line, 20 miles west of Istanbul, you can cut that transit from about 20 hours to about 4. And because it'll have the trains on the side that pull the boats through, you know, I don't know if you've seen that's how the person's doing. So you're gonna have this system that's gonna cut the cost spectacularly. It's gonna make everybody in Eastern Europe flowing into that from Russia through Ukraine over here, you're building canals right now that will connect northern Germany by water to the Black Sea. I mean, this is what this crowd that you are so angry about are fighting. They know what it means. So you're asking me, what does it mean for the future?
Yeah.
It means the next glorious boom. What does it mean for these people in the sort of this set of elites? It's their destruction.
Right.
They're the people with $14 trillion in China. They're the people that need to keep this the way it is. And so, I mean, that's the beauty of the United States is, you know, most countries, you hit the people in the face with a 2x4. It doesn't matter. You hit them with the 6x6. It doesn't matter. You squash their entire generation. Maybe it matters. In America, you take a shot, you take another shot, you take another one. One day you wake up and said, no, hell no.
Right.
And that's what's going on right now. The elites have lost the system. I mean, Trump is not a politician. He's more like, you know, he's more like a cricket with these antennae going around here. And he could sense this. He, you know, he like builds new houses and has like regular people as customers. Right, you know, right. He could sense the way that felt. And he was going, it was a strong pulse building. And he came down that elevator and went right to it.
Yeah.
Now, once you let that out of the bag, I mean, in the last week, Poland just voted out, you know, the pro-Ukraine government out of here because their farmers said, hell no. And off with that goes. You know, in Germany, you just had, I mean, if people talk about them as their Nazis, the AfD, the AfDs here would be more like, you know, moderate Republicans. They just, you know, they're still sort of socialist, but they want, you know, more of this. So everything's playing against the system, which is exactly the way it should work.
Right. Now, let's say, because what you've also done is you've restructured economies of principalities, too, of places, not just of businesses. So here we are in America, and we're at a situation where I believe that that's true. And they tried it where they went all out with the pandemic and the Great Reset, and they're going direct and everything, and it's all failing, and it looks like it's failing. I don't even think they have any money left. It's all just, you know, blah, blah. So they're pulling out all these things. They want to go to the central bank digital currency. They want the digital IDs. They want the 15 minutes easy. They're rolling out the Agenda 2030. A lot of people are like, no, we're not going to have that in America, and we're going to go back to like our sovereign nation. But they've done a lot of damage. The border, they've done a lot. I mean, with all the illegals inside this nation, I still think it's salvageable, but it's going to take a lot of work. What do you see in the next, you know, between, because I think these people don't, first of all, I think they know that they're going to lose if they have an actual free and fair election. I also think that they know what you're saying is true, and that makes them very dangerous. And they're backed by a lot of these guys. I see them, especially the BlackRocks and Vanguard, JP Morgan, they're all talking about that they're going to rebuild Ukraine. Clinton Global Initiative is there for $600 billion. I mean, it's so outlandish. But what does that say for the idea that they're so desperate that they're dangerous going forward?
It says that they're so desperate, it's dangerous. They're now visible. You understand that voter fraud is a brand new issue since 1792.
Exactly.
And what happens is always been in the inner city,
exactly.
You know, where you can kind of control things. And, you know, inner city elections are always rigged. The candidates are always screaming, but it's Democrat on Democrat screaming.
Right.
You know, it's the fraud has always been there. You know, it used to be, you know, votes for smokes, you know, right. or whatever it took. They used to get the folks coming off the boat. You would go through the bar, and next door would be the voting booth, and they'd circle back in the bar. They actually did this in New York. They had the voting location here,
right,
and a bar here. So you would go through out the front door of the bar, into the voting booth, around to the back, come
Sounds
back
like
in
New
the
York.
Bar, get another chip for another drink. And vote all you like. You know, vote early, vote often.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's so ironic. Go ahead.
But you had to move that from, you know, Democrat on Democrat, inner city, to the system, because it couldn't work. And that is their own destruction. You know, people are figuring this out. Trump may not have been, you know, he may not have said all the right things in the right way, but he was a, you know, change agent.
Yeah.
He was spirit chucker. And it would have been extraordinary for somebody that disruptive, who the system, Hillary Clinton spent $2 billion on her election with her PAC and herself. And she spent, a total of $45 million on social media.
Right.
Trump spent $213 million and $42 million, $213 million and $42 million on historic media. His $200 million of social media was so disruptive that it more than canceled out $2 billion of traditional media.
Right.
That's why the media hates him. He destroyed them. And, you know, they're destroyed anyway, but, you know, they just need to everything now is going to reorganize, you know, like all the engines, rebuild it. And you're going to a tangible world versus an intangible world. So all those things like, you know, digital currency, you know, Bitcoin, you know, how did that work for, you know, Bankman-Fried, huh?
Right.
And we're good for them. So, but you're going to go back to old school, and old school now turns out to be new school, because the sophistication of where technology has gone in America, these new plants you're going to build, these aren't going to be 5 mile long, you know, little hands moving like this. They're going to be very optimized plants. You're going to have a lot of machinery and automation. That automation, you're going to have like a junior college degree.
Right.
You know, you don't need my, you know, physics background to operate that equipment. Matter of fact, if you're too smart, you probably have an issue with, you know, being able to do this.
You won't be able to get along with anyone.
Yeah, I've got to have a personality. You got to listen, you know. One thing about America is I've run big companies all over the world. In America, the guy walks off the line and says, that's the dumbest ass thing you're doing right there. Why don't you change it? I go, okay. You know, in the rest of the world, they don't do that. They would be afraid that, you know, everybody else would be in trouble. So the new factories are going to come back here. You're going through this disruption as they build them. You have to change the financial system, because it's all sort of, you know, what's the word for it? It's perfected for finance. It's perfected for leverage.
Right.
And it doesn't matter anymore, because I'm not going to leverage buildings and stock. I'm going to build hard assets, these boxes with real expensive equipment in there. I'm going to have a support system. And you know, I'm going to get next to the customer. And guess what? For a long time, agriculture was down here, and, you know, mining was down here, and oil production was, last I checked, price of oil's $90. Crazy. The United States right now is pumping 12 million barrels of oil a day. And they're also pumping 5 million barrels of natural gas condensate liquids. So we're 17 million barrels a day with the system fighting it tooth and nail.
Right.
You could go to 25 million barrels a day and dominate the world.
Right.
And that's just going to happen.
So you're optimistic about this. It's just not comfortable getting there, but it can't sustain itself. I feel like it's already gone. It's just, they're holding on. And the information war, the propaganda war right now is so intense. I can't even believe it. Something happens, it's out of the news the next day. I mean, that's chaos too. Do you feel that the information war that they're fighting is failing as well, and that'll restructure itself too? How do you feel about that? Because I don't see CNN, MSNBC, Washington Post, they've been complicit in helping these people continue down this horrible path. So I think they're going to go away as well. Your thoughts on the media situation?
Well, I think you take a look at Israel. I mean, in Israel, they had all of the artificial intelligence, all our systems. We had, you know, if you're a reporter in that part of the world, you're a spy. That's what you do. You get a little big on the side.
Here too, apparently. Here too, it seems.
Oy vey, whatever. But all of that was defeated by camel jockeys, wasn't it?
Pretty much.
I mean, these people looked at the systems, the sophistication of what AI is, and they said, it's not us. So we need to train AI to be a dope.
Right.
Isn't that what X is doing? Isn't that why Elon Musk bought Twitter? He's trying to get rid of the bots and get the real information.
Right.
So you're seeing this, you're seeing the most massive security disaster, you know, in our time. I mean, there've been ones on that level before, but this is pretty much as big as it can be. And, you know, it's not over yet, and it won't be over for another 2 years. You're just at the front end of these troubles, not the rear. But it's already shown that the human capacity exceeds the machines.
Right. I agree.
And that will play into America, where you're encouraged to have human capacity. As much as our government is horrible, it's great compared to everybody else. As much as the Federal Reserve is a disaster, how would you like to get rid of the Federal Reserve? Would go back to Treasury, would go back to the president. How'd you like to have Joe Biden with a checkbook?
No, we wouldn't. We wouldn't at all. It's not good. Apparently, he's not very good with his checkbook, since he had to go all around the world and get millions and probably billions of dollars and hide it. And it's all going to get, he's getting caught on all fronts. That's the other thing, the law and order and the upside down nature of everything that's happening, where good is bad and bad is good. It's just, it can't sustain itself much longer. But I agree with you. I think between now and 2024, it's not going to be easy, but I believe on the other side, it will be better. Do you want to tell my audience how they can follow you, find you? Are you out there in social media? What do you do?
I'm not on social media. I actually am in the real economy. I do real consulting, but I do shows like this.
Great.
Because it's kind of fun.
Cool. Well, we'll have you back for sure. And I want to have you back also to talk about California in particular and agriculture, because, you know, we've seen, and we'll end on this, we've seen a lot of people fear, because Bill Gates and the Chinese have bought a lot of our agricultural land and all of that. And I know that that's something you look at, but I feel like there's got to be mechanisms to take that back, and that we can again be a major exporter and also feed ourselves from the inside out. I see a lot of what you're saying is going towards that. We will rebuild America from within. We'll have our economy back, because we'll start making things again, including agriculture and exporting food, which is needed. So last words just on that front is it a real problem that they have bought all this farmland, or is that coming back too?
Well, I think that's sort of like an echo. I happen to be CEO of what's called New California, that's trying to form a new state.
Right.
We believe that California is going off the cliff. It always leads the United States and the world on the way up.
Yes,
but it also leads on the way down. And you're in this incredible crisis right now. As China goes down, think about tax revenues in California. So we are, you know, going to suffer that turmoil you're talking about harder than anybody else, and prepare for the next massive economic boom that I think you'll tell your kids and grandkids you were part of.
Great. I agree with that. Thank you so much, Chris Street. I look forward to having you back. I really appreciate you being here. This was an amazing show that gave a lot of hope, because, you know, you can look around and you can think all's bad, but you know what? I think the same as you. It's darkest before the dawn. Thank you.
Thanks. Nice to be here. And, you know, I think people should pray for, you know, what's going on in Israel and the Middle East. It's a hard time, and the world needs our prayers.
I agree. Thank you so much, sir. We'll see you again. The narrative is falling apart, but as it does, there's so much of this fraudulent disinformation, misinformation, censorship coming from the globalists. And what we need to do is be focused on the facts, cut through everything, be discerning, and get it first and foremost out there to everyone. It is important that you know what is going on. Censorship is getting nuts. You guys know it. There's accounts all over the place that are fake, that are not me. I know you guys send me emails and I really appreciate it. And you report it, and it's on Telegram and Instagram and Twitter, and they're not me. So I'm super excited to announce We the People with Mel Kay. Be the first to join. It's a VIP community, just you and me behind a paywall, no trolls, no nothing. We get to know each other. I will give you the facts first. I break a lot of stories a long time before other people. We can talk about past, present, future, history, what we're doing now, solutions for going forward, what 2024 is going to look like. I'm going to do breaking news, do a lot of deep dives. I'm going to bring that information to you guys first in a live Q&A every week. So please click the link below and join me over there. We are going to create a community that is censorship proof. It's cancel proof. It's truth. It's transparency. It's on the road to God, country, justice, everything that we want in one place. This is the most incredible, amazing time to be alive. As hard as it seems and as difficult as the battle has been for you guys and definitely for me, all I know is that we all are part of the solution. We are all involved and invested, and you guys have the passion that I have. So let's join together on live Q&As once a week with me, Mel Kay, we the people of the United States, taking back this nation. This is so exciting, guys. I've been dying to do this, and we finally got the technology right. So please join me. Click the link below. Can't wait to get started. Hi guys, you know for months and months, me and Mike Al have been talking about the water supply, what is in there. There are pharmaceuticals in the water supply, there are all these chemicals, lots of pollution. We've had all these natural disasters that leave our water not nearly as clean and certainly not as God intended. We know how important water is for our health. So we have been on a mission to try to find the best alternative to the water that is out there, including bottled water, which of course, we did a whole show on everything that's in bottled water, which is almost as shocking as what's in our natural water now. So we found the best partner we could in Healthy Hydrogen. This is a portable bottle that I use all the time, but also there are many options over there. You can get a full house system. You can get a tabletop system. You can get for your shower, for your office and business. They have so many great options. If you go to themelkshow.com, we have partnered with them. So it's on our partners page, Healthy Hydrogen. I am telling you right now, the difference in this water and what it will do to your health in general is incredible. If you have inflammation, your immune system has problems, anything that you are thinking you don't know the solution for, this could be the game changer. We've been looking for the missing piece, and I believe the missing piece is the water. We are so excited. They have so much science backing all of their products. They have been tested by all different groups out there that do this for a living and look at water really in depth. We have the hydrogen aspect, which is truly fascinating. Nothing is more important than water. We all know that. So make sure you're putting the best water in your body. And I assure you, this is a true game changer that you will see right away and will improve your health and your family's health going forward. Go check out the Mel Kay Show partners page, Healthy Hydrogen, and get your health back from the inside out, starting with God's great water. We will see you soon. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the show.